morning's lesson is in Matthew chapter 2, verse 7 through 23. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, "In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentations and weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted, because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene." And this morning, we're studying on the wise men and Herod, and it's a lot like remind me a lot of the message a preacher preached the other week on what does Christmas mean to you, and meant two very different things to Herod than it did to wise men, and it's amazing that people that ought to know it means nothing to, and the people that didn't know much of nothing, they just seen that God was doing something, and it meant more to them than it did to people that had the light around them. And it's the same way today, it seems like. But Christmas should mean more than just presents and even just getting together with family. It should mean celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ and telling others about the birth of Jesus Christ, sharing that gospel with others. And if it wasn't for his birth, if he didn't come to be born of a virgin, then we wouldn't have redemption today. It was all of God. But when Herod here says, Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired them diligently what time the star appeared. And Herod was troubled because he had heard that there was a baby born that would be king of the Jews. And these wise men had come from far off to see this child, and he was inquiring of them. He wanted to find out who this child was so he could kill him, so he wouldn't have somebody to, take his place on the throne. And, he was a very wicked man, but he acted like he was very concerned and wanted to worship his child like the wise men did. He was deceiving the wise men, trying to get them to go find the child so he could go and kill him. And, like I said, Herod was the king of the Jews. He was not a Jew, but he was over the Jews. He ruled over the Jews. He knew Jewish customs. He knew a lot of what the Jews believed. And like we studied a couple weeks ago, the Jews themselves should have known who Jesus was because of all the prophecies that was told about him, the times it would be in, you know, it would be in hard times that he would come. It would be all that we studied a couple weeks ago that would happen before the Christ could come. And the Jews should have known who Jesus was, and Herod should have known that the Messiah, the Christ, was coming, because he should have known enough about the Jews to know everything that they believed. And he did know that there was one coming that would be king of the Jews, and that disturbed him because he wanted to be king. He didn't believe in the God of the Jews, but he believed that there was going to be a king of the Jews. If he didn't believe that, it wouldn't bother him. So he didn't acknowledge the God of the Jews, but he believed it. You know, a lot of people don't acknowledge God, but they still deep down in their heart know that he's real, know that Jesus is real, know that all that went on, but they just don't acknowledge it in their heart. You can know something with your head and not know it with your heart. And that's what Herod did. He knew that all this was true, and that it wouldn't have bothered him if he didn't really believe that there was going to be born a king of the Jews. But he didn't acknowledge it, and he didn't acknowledge God. He just thought himself as God. And anyway, he was trying to get the information from the wise men and telling them that he wanted to worship this baby too. But it was all a lie. And then he sent them off and said, when they heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Now these was wise men were from the east. We often think of them as being three because they brought three gifts, but the Bible doesn't tell us how many there were. It just says they was wise men. They brought three gifts, but it could have been 10 or 15 or more. It could have been one or two. It was just wise men. It was more than one because it was men and not a man. But they brought three gifts to Jesus. And, you know, we don't know what they had heard in the far country. We don't know what they had heard about. You know, we know that the Jews was carried off into Babylon, which was where these men was probably from. So they may have heard the story of the coming Messiah from the remnant Jews that was carried off into Babylon. They might have heard some of it, not a true believers in God, but when they saw the evidence that God put in the sky of a star, they knew something was different. They knew something was up, that God was doing something. So they went to seek for God. They went to seek to see what this was. And, you know, when somebody hears the truth of the gospel, I believe God will do something in their life to prove himself to him, whether they believe it, whether they act upon it or not. God will do something to them in their life, some way, to prove that he's real to them, whether that be that they follow science and see that, you know, evolution can't be true, or, you know, the creation points to God. Everything on this planet points to a God, a creator. And God will prove himself if somebody's just willing to open their eyes and look for him. He says, seek and ye shall find. And I mean, people don't seek without the seed of the gospel somehow. They're lost in their sins. But when you hear the gospel and when you've heard of God, then you should want to seek and find out the truth. If you're at all concerned with your eternity, with your life, then and that should cause you to seek in some way. But the seed of the gospel will cause people to seek, and the conviction and dealing of the Holy Spirit will cause people to seek. But something caused these men to realize that this star was of God, and they sought God by following this star. And you know, we have a lot more to follow than the star. We have the whole entire Word of God. There's no excuse for anybody on this in this country that can read to not know the God of the Bible, because we got a lot more to follow than just a star. But these men followed the star to Christ, and we can follow the light of the Word of God to Christ, and we can lead others to Him. But it's amazing that these men were from afar off and from a different country, and they just seen a star in the sky and realized that God was doing something, and they followed the light that God had given them to the Christ child. And it says that it came and stood over where the child was, and you know, they followed the light to where Christ was, and the light stood where Christ was. And you know, of course, Christ is the light of the world, and you know, He was more than just a babe in the manger. He was God incarnate. And I read the verses that they skipped in the lesson here, verses 11 through 15. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So, you know, a lot of Christmas plays, and people just think that the wise men came the same time the shepherds did, but the shepherds didn't come to a stable. It says that when they were coming to the house. So the shepherds didn't come at the same time the wise men didn't come the same time the shepherds did. They come maybe a year or year and a half or 2 years later. And it says that they came into the house and presented their treasures, gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return into Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And, you know, I kind of thought that was interesting that, you know, these men didn't have a dream of where to go to see the Christ child. They followed what light they had, and they sought for Him. They went and seek, and they found. And but when they come and worshipped Him, when they found Him, when they found Christ, then God spoke to them in a dream. He spoke directly to these people. I believe that's a sign that they were saved after this. At this time, you know, when somebody finds Christ, God can't speak to them before they're saved in the way that He can after they're saved. When you're saved, He can speak directly to your heart through His Word. He can't do that before you're saved. He can give you light through His Word. He can give you light through His people. But when you've accepted Christ, He can speak to you in a different way. And there's instances of kings in the Bible, wicked kings, having dreams, but they couldn't interpret those dreams. They didn't know what those dreams meant. Those dreams might have been from God, but they had to have a man of God tell them what those dreams meant. This dream here wasn't like that. They knew what the dream said. God told them in a dream not to return to Herod. And they departed and obeyed God and went home another way. So I think that's interesting that God was speak to them in a different way after they found Christ. And He does the same for us. And it says, when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord approached Joseph in a dream, appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child and destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. So after the angel after God warned the wise men in a dream, he also warned Joseph in a dream that Herod was going to kill the young children, and he told him to get down into Egypt and flee Herod before he could do this. And Joseph obeyed, and you know, that's not the first time an angel told Joseph in a dream what he should do. And Joseph obeyed God each time. And also told him that he said, "Be thou there, stay there till I bring thee word. You know, stay where I tell you to go until I tell you to go somewhere else." And, you know, we need to be where God wants us to be until he tells us to go on somewhere else. Don't try to do more for God than he wants us to do at that time. Don't do any less, but don't try to go beyond what God wants you to do. I believe a lot of people might think they're called to preach when God hadn't called them to preach. Yeah, they just need to do what God wants them to do, and if God calls them to preach, be willing to do it. But, you know, it could be anything, but, you know, we need to wait on God. And it says, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. So Herod revealed his deceitfulness, his wickedness, and instead of wanting to worship this child, he went and he was going to kill it, but since the wise men went on a different way and didn't tell him where the Christ child was, not only was he willing to just kill this one child, he was willing to kill every child in the country of 2 years old and younger to make sure that he killed this child. That's how wicked this man was, how depraved. He should have worshipped this child. He should have been willing. He knew that this child was God's, was the Messiah. He knew it was the King of the Jews. Because if anybody had the light that the Jews had, it was Herod. He should have known what the Jews knew, but he was unwilling and wicked and wanted to kill anybody that was standing in his way. And, you know, when people want to have their own way, Jesus always stands in their way. The truth of the gospel will stand in their way. It'll show them that they're going to go to hell or pay a cost for what they're doing. They don't like to hear it. That's why they get mad at Christians, or they seem to get mad at Christians. They're not mad at Christians, they're mad at God. But, you know, when people are that hard-hearted, they're capable of doing anything. You know, says, "Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted, because they are not." And it's interesting that it speaks here in this verse, and the verse there that they skipped out on calling the son out of Egypt. You know, these are prophecies spoken of to Israel that had two fulfillments. One in Hosea, where it talked about his son calling his son out of Egypt, seemed to be talking about when God brought Israel out of Egypt, and it had a double fulfillment in bringing his only begotten son out of Egypt as well. And where Jeremiah prophesied that they would be in Ramah, a voice heard, lamentation, weeping, great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they were not. That's in Jeremiah 31:15, and you know, it has a double fulfillment too, because it was spoken of the time that they were taken into Babylonian captivity, and the people were weeping because a lot of them was killed and a lot of them was taken into captivity and sent off to Babylon, and their children were not. People were weeping and wailing and crying. But they also done it when the Messiah came, and Herod would kill the children of 2 years old and younger when because their children were not. You know, they was killed because this wicked man would fulfill the prophecy again. It was fulfilled twice. And it's, sometimes prophecy seems to be fulfilled more so like Jeremiah and Hosea already at an earlier time, but it can have a later meaning. And sometimes prophecy in the Bible is fulfilled in some way at an earlier time, but has a deeper, fuller fulfillment in the future. And, you know, prophecy is a lot of times confusing like that. It confuses people if they allow it. But when you take the Bible for what it says throughout, you realize that it has to have a double fulfillment sometimes. And, now I think that's one thing the Jews would refuse to see. The reason they wouldn't see that Jesus was the Messiah, they refused to see that some of the prophecies had a double fulfillment. They wouldn't see that he had to come first for them, for their sins. They wouldn't see themselves as sinners. They had to, he had to come first for their sins and then be their king later. And you know, prophecy is has to be understood with the Bible, with all the Bible. And sometimes it has a double fulfillment like he did. But when Herod was dead, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and go into a land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. So the angel done as he told Joseph in the dream before, that he would come and give him word when to leave Egypt, and he did. And now God keeps his word. When he tells you something, he'll do it.
Right.
And he told Joseph that he would come give him word. He said, stay in Egypt till I tell you that I give you word to leave. And that's what he done. And if Joseph hadn't have been in Egypt, he wouldn't have been there to hear God's word. You got to be where God wants you to be able to hear God's word. And he was in the right place, and God was able to send him word again. But saying, told him that the people that sought his life, sought the young child's life, was dead. So we don't know how many years they was in Egypt. It doesn't say, but when Herod died, the angel sent and told Joseph to come out of Egypt. And again, Joseph obeyed. He just said he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he had heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. So, you know, he went on into Israel, but he had heard that the son of Herod was on the throne, so that then God warned him again in a dream, and Joseph again obeyed and went into Galilee. And says, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. So many prophecies were fulfilled in the birth and life of Christ. There's, I don't know the exact number, but it's amazing how many prophecies were fulfilled in the life of Jesus Christ. And it's impossible that the Messiah could be anybody else but Jesus Christ. And you know, it's sad that people don't see him for what he is. People don't seek him because they're too busy with their lives here. But when you see in the Bible how specific and how much time God took to write prophecies and to tell who His Son would be, who the Messiah would be, that there's no reason in the world for anybody not to realize that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and came to die for the sins of this world and is coming again to rule and reign with those that accept Him and trust Him. And it's up to us to believe it. You know, he's given us every reason in the world to believe it. It's up to us to take Him at His word. He won't force us to believe Him. We can't force anybody to believe us, and God won't force us to believe Him. And you know, we can give them all the evidence possible, but people's going to believe what they want to. But now, everything God done is for a reason, and we need to just trust Him and obey Him. And it's interesting that Joseph, every time God spoke to tell what he needed to do to protect Jesus from Herod, and to protect Mary from, you know, from being divorced of Joseph, and or whatever Joseph was going to do when he had the first dream. And, you know, every time God spoke to Joseph, He spoke to, I thought it was interesting, you think how the Catholics mistakenly think that Mary was perfect. They equal her to a God and say that she was sinless and a perpetual virgin and all this nonsense. But God spoke to Joseph. He didn't speak to Mary like that.
Right.
He spoke to the man because He knew God always uses the man if the man's available and the man's willing and able. And you know, that just would further prove that Mary was not equal to God in any way. She was a human just as anybody else is. She was just found favor in God's sight, because she is willing to obey God. And we need to be willing to obey and trust Him. But I'll read the practical points. The evil always values secrecy, but the righteous have nothing to hide. Evil men are often adept at feigning piety to deceive the innocent. Those are pretty big words. The God of the universe has infinite means at His disposal to ensure His purposes. The hearts of God's people are fulfilled with unspeakable joy at the sight of His works. An evil man sees godly people as mocking and threatening, but God is his real enemy. And the ferocity of evil people, no matter how great, can never do any more than fulfill God's purposes. And you know, reading them practical points reminded me of a thought. You know, when it was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet that the people would weep and Rachel would reap for her children. You know, that was prophesied, but it was prophesied because God knew it was going to happen, not because God made it happen. You know, God allows things to happen sometimes, but He don't make evil happen. He just uses evil means to fulfill those that would do evil. He still is able to use that to fulfill His perfect plan. And, you know, just because God knows something is going to happen doesn't mean He makes it or He foreordained it in any way like that. But anybody have anything you want to say on the lesson?